It's actually feeling with compasio, like feeling with your different types of clients. Before they've even met you, they feel like you're already their coach, their mentor, their person.
You are listening to Amplifier Success Podcast, episode 383. And today we're going to be learning about quizzes that attract your most ideal clients. You ready for this? Let's get started. Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Get ready to ramp up your revenue, amplify your impact, and make your mark in the world. This is the show for experts, thought leaders, and service professionals who want to shatter their limits and achieve that next level. You're going to find out from other experts and influencers how they made it. Now, let's get amplified. Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, authority amplifier to expert-based entrepreneurs ready to achieve 5 and 6-figure months. Today, our theme is about quizzes, and I've asked a friend of mine to come and share what she has learned about leveraging quizzes to attract ideal clients and to create these quizzes with a more emotional, empathetic, and bonding experience rather than an experience where you're making people wrong or bad about where they're at in their journey. And it's a really interesting conversation. I'm excited to share it with you. And before we jump in, I want to share my version of a quiz. I call it the 17 mistakes that guest experts make that cost them the lead and the client. And this comes from my almost a decade worth of optimizing experts just like you, how to not just make a great impact when they are a guest on someone's stage or on someone's podcast, but to actually optimize it to attract clients and to activate what I like to call million-dollar visibility. And we all have made these mistakes, me too. I've gathered them all in one place, and you can download the scorecard right now at melaniebenson.com/scorecard and just go through it and assess where you're at, especially if you've been trying guesting on podcasts and shows and stages and you're thinking, this is not working for me. What am I missing? Or you want to jump right in and make sure that you're optimizing and getting the best return on your investment of time, money, and energy right away. Again, head over to melaniebenson.com/scorecard. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome back, Amplifiers. If you have been wondering what is the best kind of lead magnet to use, I want you to get your pen out, get some paper, go make yourself a cup of coffee, or if you're later in the day, pour that nice glass of red wine. You want to take in every single morsel that's about to come your way with this amazing guest today. We're talking about the power of quizzes to attract clients with compassion. So let me introduce you to this amazing woman. Her name is Melissa Seaman. And just a little background on her before we bring her into the conversation. She's a business strategist. She's an intuitive channel. She's a world-renowned retreat leader, a sought-after speaker, and the host of the Channel Your Genius podcast. Now, here's some interesting stuff about her that you may or may not know if you know Melissa. She started her journey as a Stanford-educated business lawyer. But today, after a big transformative evolutionary moment for her, which she may or may not talk about today, she realized that she needed to be using her intuitive side and developed this unique combination of business strategy and intuitive development to guide professional women in midlife to a new level of leadership she calls the professional wise woman. And she's known for having $6 million windfalls using fun, creative, compassionate quizzes that go viral and helping people birth new career paths that integrate their own intuitive gifts. So, Melissa, welcome to the show. I'm so excited. This conversation was such a long time coming.
Yeah, no, Melanie, I'm so psyched to be here. I want everyone that I love to have a magic mirror quiz for their business because it is such a game changer. And it, especially if you're someone who has a deep business, you know, something transformational or something healing or something creative that's otherwise hard to describe. Holy crap, this thing just solves so many problems at once. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, psyched to be here and talk about it.
So you're like the quiz evangelist.
Yes, I am right now. I am totally up on my quiz soapbox, preaching quiz to the world right now, because and it's a compassionate thing. I kid you not. Like I do a lot of really high-end intuitive work, and that pays my bills just fine. But oh man, I am so passionate about helping other creative intuitive people to be seen and known in this marketplace that is now so saturated with robot created content, with like pushy stuff that everybody's so skeptical. Everybody's so cynical now. Nobody believes anything we're telling them anymore, for pretty good reason. So how do you get people's attention with a lead gen magnet? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, well, that's where I was going to start. Like, and I guess, you know, we have a lot of different choices for how we get, and let's just take a step back, because if someone's new to the podcast, new to this environment, new to the world of online marketing, they maybe go, what are we talking about? What's a lead magnet, right? So what we're talking about is the first little taster you give a potential client or a collaboration partner or somebody who's starting to learn more about your work. How do you start the journey with them in a very low risk way so that you can nurture the relationship and provide something really valuable that hopefully will inspire them to raise their hand and say, hey, I'd like to work with you or buy your stuff, something of that nature. That's what we mean by a lead magnet. So let's just kick off with, why are you evangelizing the idea of a quiz over some of these different forms of free gift, free like resource to get started on that client journey?
Well, you know, the Stanford trained lawyer part of me says it's very simple. Quizzes get about 10 times better conversion rates on the opt-in pages, period. Like right now we're looking at 2 to 4% opt-in for most lead gen magnet freebie opt-in pages. That's not so great. You know, I'm sure that we can create better. I'm sure some people have stuff that's doing better, but that's kind of become industry standard, and that's pathetic. And I think it's because people are really sick of getting another ebook that they know they're not going to read. They're tired of more recorded material that feels bait and switchy, and they just don't trust it. So that's the number one thing, is just, it works. It just works, at least to get people in the quiz. And then you have to have a good quiz in order to keep them and impress them, of course. That's another issue. And then the compassionate, intuitive chick in me says, oh, come on. Like, it's so much more fun to start this profound, reflective conversation with a new person in your world than it is to just hand them some flyer, PDF checklist hoo-ha. Like, it's just, it opens up such a deep conversation, and it teaches you about them while they're learning about you.
Yeah. And just for sake of clarity, when you're talking about that kind of traffic, are we talking about totally cold?
Yes.
This person's, you know, maybe you're running ads, or, you know, they've just run across your stuff, or are you talking about warm traffic that has had some kind of experience of you and is now going to your opt-in?
What's so cool is I'm talking about cold traffic right now. So we get 30 to 50% conversion on our opt-in rates for quizzes. Mine runs in the 40%-ish range with cold paid traffic. And so that's unheard of. Like, my ads ladies are just like authentic audience. They're fantastic. They are stumbling over themselves every time the numbers come in. They're like, how is this happening? I'm like, it's because it's a quiz. Check it out. Other people with quizzes get this kind of opt-in conversion as well.
I love that.
Yeah.
So here's what I know about quizzes. I've done quizzes over the years, and I know a lot of people who do quizzes, and there are different kinds of quizzes, different formats that somebody could be exploring. Let's talk about the three key types of quizzes that are out there, and how do we know which one we should be using?
This is a fantastic question. It's probably the number one mistake people make when they try to quiz their biz, as I like to say it. And the one that works is a personality quiz. It's an archetype quiz. It says, which type of person are you, basically, in various sorts of ways. You know, my soul gift quiz is like, find out your deepest soul's gift in 2 minutes, taking this 7-question quiz. So it's something that is personal. It's about you. The other types of quizzes, there's the the scored quiz, which is the one you remember from high school, that nobody really wants to take a scored quiz from a stranger because they're basically judging you. And it's very transparent in its attempts to make you feel bad about your pain points. And that is old school and doesn't really work anymore. So please don't make a scored quiz. Like, tell me how good you are at blah, blah, blah. How far along the path are you at blah, 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 you know? Ugh, it can work further down the funnel, but it's not a conversation you have on a first date. You know, the first date is like, who are you? What are your special gifts? Let me reflect you to yourself. And then the second date, the third date can be, okay, now that we know each other, can I be honest with you? Can I show you where you're struggling? Can we talk about your challenges? So a scored quiz like that belongs farther down the funnel, please God. And that includes a lot of these like bucketing quiz, the bucketing quiz idea, which, you know, can be great bucketing quizzes that basically ask people, which bucket do you land in? Are you this type or this type? Are you blah? Do you want this product or that product? Well, it's very analytical and people will put up with that kind of survey, but only farther down the funnel after you've engaged with them with something that is compassionate and valuable and responsive to their needs. So please don't do a scored quiz right up front. Please don't do also what I call a commitment survey. The commitment survey is like, I have one called the work with me survey. That belongs also farther down the funnel, farther down when people know you and they're like, man, I really want to work with Melissa, but how should I work with her? Well, take my work with me survey. It's a really fun quiz that basically tells you if you should work with me and if so, how. Okay, great. That's great. But if you start with that, like a lot of people do, which of my products would you like to purchase? That's not a get to know you quiz, guys. Like, nor is, you know, check off which of these are your suffering points. It's like, oy, heavy, boring, and sometimes offensive. So people doing the wrong quiz at the front end of this beautiful, compassionate conversation can not only turn off clients, but can turn clients against you. You know, what you want is the opposite. People taking your magic mirror, I call it a magic mirror archetype quiz because they feel like they're being reflected in their depth. If they take one of those, they trust you, they understand you, and they share you.
I think that's what everybody wants, is they want to feel connected to that potential client, but also they want their quizzes shared. So that's very compelling.
Yeah, well, it just kind of works.
I think where a lot of people maybe know that a quiz would work for them, but as all humans, we tend to start thinking about what's involved and it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know where to start, right? Sure. What is the first thing we need to do before you jump into starting to create a quiz of this nature?
You know, what's cool is the process that we use, that we can use to create a quiz that's a deep dive archetype magic mirror quiz. It's a super useful process for us to deeply understand our clients at a whole new level. So it's got many benefits. Even if you quit halfway through making your quiz, you're going to understand your people better and be more passionate about serving them. So here's what you do. The first thing that you do if you want to create one of these magical quizzes is you consider what types of people move towards my business, right? What are the types of people and what are they struggling with as groups? And you know what? We all have little kind of nicknames for the different types of clients that move towards our business. Like, you know, Melanie, I'm sure you've got some people who are like, I don't know, the go-getter, straight A student, hard driving, you know, kind of bossy types, you know, who want to get it all perfect and want to get it all right. And as you're amplifying their authority, you have to take a certain approach with these people, right? versus like the super softy, creative, intuitive, you know, very sensitive types. You have to take a different approach. And honestly, of these two types of clients, and there's more, like you would be looking for maybe four or five types, archetypes for the quiz, no more than that. Because then if you can imagine your person is taking the quiz, they have to choose between this many multiple choice answers at each question. So if you have four archetypes, on every question, they're choosing A, B, C, or D. And if you got five, there's an E there. And if you got seven, there's like some kind of F and G, and they can't even track it. It's way too much to, you know, it can be very overwhelming to take the quiz. So think about the types of clients that move towards you, and also choose a type or two that you'd actually rather not work with, because then your quiz becomes this sorting mechanism. And you don't have to talk to those people on the sales call because you already know they're not your favies. They're not your favorite types. Or they're a type that you don't want to work with unless A, B, C, D, there's some pre-qualifiers. You work that into the system. So by the time anybody ends up on a sales call with you, you know who they are, what their thing is. And you know, you already know. When I work with people helping them build a quiz, I find out they already know. They already know those types of clients. They never stop to slow down or stop and think about it. Who are these types? Who are the archetypes of clients who move towards my business? And who do I really want to work with? And who would I rather just shuttle on to somebody else, an affiliate?
So I have a follow-up question on that, because as I was listening to you talk, and I was imagining someone, my clients or other people I've talked to about this kind of ideal client stuff. And I want to like segue something you said earlier. So what if the way somebody identifies their buckets is at what stage somebody is in their journey? Like, let's particularly say like somebody who's got a business of their own. A lot of times our ideal client might fit into certain stages of the business, but you said earlier, you know, we don't want to like focus on where they're at in their journey. So how would somebody like pull that through if that's how they identify their ideal clients?
It's so tempting for us to go there. It is so tempting, but it's not the right thing to do. It is not, because no one wants to take a quiz that tells them they're midway through some flipping journey. That is not attractive. They will not love you for that. Hmm. They won't even tolerate it until they know you. So no, you don't get to do that. You can pre-qualify them later, absolutely. But in this first quiz, you really stick with the sort of information that helps them feel seen. Now, you're a messenger type, I think. You probably get it that different people need to be communicated with differently. That's another lens to put on your choice when you're thinking about your archetypes. But what you don't want to do is say, you know, on your quiz results, you don't want to have a thing that's like, well, you know, your type is midway there. Sorry, buddy, you're only partway there. Maybe you're somewhat there, but you're not there. It's just boring, boring, boring. What you want is to land them on a page that says, you've always been the first in line. You've always been that hard-driving one who never gives up. Unfortunately, sometimes if you're trying to put out messaging for your authority, that means you never put it out because you're waiting to make it perfect. Here's how that feels for you. Here's how you feel misunderstood by even by people who know you deeply. Here's what I know about you that other people don't know. And I'm reflecting it to you now because I deeply care about you showing up as the authority that we both know that you are, without offending people with your bossiness, without shutting yourself down with your perfectionism, you know. And I see you nodding. It's like, now we're talking about a personality type who can feel so received and honored and respected. I mean, it's like, you don't want to, you also don't want to call them, you don't want to name their archetype bossy son of a bitch, you know, because that's rude. So you always choose the positive aspect of them that you deeply respect. So you call them the go-getter, you call them the, you know, number one person, you call them what they see themselves as, so that everyone who's taking your quiz lands on those short results paragraphs. They should weep a little bit, honestly, like, oh, finally someone sees me. And that's just from some dumb little quiz. That's what makes it a magic mirror. That's what gains people's trust in a marketplace where trust has become the most precious element in the buyer's journey.
Well, what I love about what you're saying, Melissa, is first of all, you know, I think we have a, what's the word? I want to say dearth, but that's not such a great word to use.
We don't have dearth.
Come on. Okay. Well, I feel like there's not enough being seen. Mm-hmm. And the quiz can help people self-identify. But what you were sharing that got me nodding, and I know you can't see that as you're listening in, but as I was leaning into that, I was realizing it's the messaging that bonds people to you. It's the ability to, you know, use words for people to feel recognized in a way. Yeah. And so integrating this quiz, which helps you kind of put people into buckets or need, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. and then use the messaging, I think is what's so brilliant, because it's the integration of those two pieces that creates this bond, this trust,
it's compassion. It's compassion. It's compassionate. It's actually feeling with compassion, like feeling with your different types of clients. Before they've even met you, they feel like you're already their coach, their mentor, their person, because you're already feeling with them, which is the one thing we all deeply need. And I'm pretty sure that this sort of messaging, you know, we'll see if AI can fake it, but
no AI here. AI may give you an infrastructure, but AI cannot bring
with
this.
AI now, that's all they're, you know, that's what I'm seeing everywhere is like, AI design quiz. And I just feel sad because I'm like, well, not with a magic mirror. You're not going to get to the magic mirror that way. I'm sorry. Right. I'm not even sorry, because the truth is I see this as a huge benefit and for people who have compassion for their clients. And let's face it, there's plenty of businesses that really don't care. They want the purchase, they want the sale. Okay, well, that's one way of doing business, but those people don't tend to work with me. They've asked to, actually, and I say no, because it's boring.
Well, I think what you're doing, though, is you're also, I call this authentic authority.
Yeah.
You know, when you have that authentic authority, because you're leaning into the authenticity side of something that's popular, like it's part of what makes somebody stand out. And I think that's where you can use a quiz like this to do that for your own business. I think, Melissa, that's what you're bringing into the space today, is this idea that, we need more authentic authority, and AI is a great tool, but it's not going to be able to take us all the way there. So I want to move on to something else. Mm-hmm. And you started to bring up where maybe there's a little bit of a misstep in people's choices when they set up a quiz, if they're to look at the stages that someone might be going through in their evolution. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that kind of fits into that misstep where people, maybe they think they're doing the right thing when they're quizzed, but it's actually going to derail all of their hard work if they were to set their quiz up on that?
I mean, there's so many. This thing about really identifying the archetypes and having a name of the quiz that draws in the right people, of course, that's super important. Another super common misstep is to create too damn many questions and have them too sticking long and have them confusing. So, you know, I actually studied survey creation when I was at Stanford in the psychology department. And there is so much there about the psychology of creating surveys. The answers need to be distinct such that each type would choose that answer, but would not be tempted to choose one of the other answers. The answers for each question have to be so concise, because as you know, people don't read anymore. They scan. So they have to be in the same, the same wording structure, each one, zing, 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 so people can scan them. The short results paragraph that people land on when they take your quiz has to get to that, like, tear falling down the cheek, moving compassion space, but just in 5 or 6 sentences, because at that point in the relationship, that's about all you want to give them. and then let them opt in, let them choose. So I'm a big fan with quizzes of not requiring the opt-in. And with what we know about where email deliverability rules are going, holy Toledo, trust me, you only want people to give you their email if they're interested because of all, you know, the deliverability thing. So when you are kind and compassionate and don't force the email collection, but have a skip this step or something, they will also share it with other people. People are a little nervous about sharing a quiz with other people if it requires them to give their email before they've even seen the quiz. That is so done now. So, and then there's, of course, there's structures for follow-up, you know, get your full results report, click here. And that's what they're opting in for. And they're choosing more information. So the open rates on the emails for the first five emails in our quiz funnels is 50% and more, because people actually want the information. So if you start hammering them with, hey, I'm Melissa, I'm so hot, here's all the things I have to sell you, immediately after the quiz, you lose them. Of course, they're like, oh, the quiz part is over, I'm out. So there has to be a good nurture sequence there that feels personal to them. So if it's Mr. Bossy Pants, you speak to him, you speak to that type with your follow-up, you know? And you speak to his specific pain points in those emails. And he feels like those emails were personally written by you to him. Even though he knows that they're automatic, he still feels moved. He still feels trust. And he wants to get on the phone with you or the Zoom, which is where we all live now, is on the Zoom.
Yeah. And I think your earlier point is you're compelling and creating this irresistible action to lean in for more, as well as repelling people who are never going to be your buyers. They're not really, you know, energetically aligned with what you're teaching. And I think that a lot of people get, I mean, I did this, like I did a quiz one time and we couldn't figure out like how to do the opt-in properly. And it was clunky and it didn't work and it felt funny. And I mean, like, I love that you're just saying like, hey, the right people are going to want to keep going and just focus on that rather than all the people who are like, okay, that was interesting, but I'm not in.
Yeah. Yeah. The days of just building your list until you have 200,000 of disinterested people who are constantly reporting you as spam, those days are over.
Yeah.
And
way
now
over.
It's about really having a very carefully curated list who's opening your emails at a high rate. And we do lists, because I don't mean to poo-poo all the buckets. Obviously, the point that you land these people with tags in your CRM, in your system, that you know forever who's this type, who's that type, means that you can, with any product and any service, go, oh, you know what type would love this new service we're putting out? These guys. Let's just send messaging to these guys. And it's delicious. It's wonderful. For those of us who really care about having compassionate communication in our lives and in our businesses, it is a game changer.
Yeah. Well, you're taking us into a place of very integrated marketing where we know who is interested in what, rather than just blanketing to everybody. And that could be a whole episode in itself someday.
Someday. Right? Let's do it.
Yes. Well, you know, I took a peek at the resource that you're going to share with our audience. And what I'm really excited about is this is an example of everything you've just been talking about, which is this, you know, quiz experience that's very soulful and, you know, guiding people to recognize themselves. Tell us a little bit about this first step that people can take with you.
So it's called the Soul Gift Quiz, soulgiftquiz.com. And it's that 7-question little 2-minute quiz that nails something so deep about you that can really surprise you. It's often discovering a part of yourself that existed long before you got trained to be something else. And so it opens the kind of conversation I like to have with people. And you'll notice when you're taking the quiz and it gets to the opt-in, it happens, the quiz is fast, it's fun, it's got pictures. And when you get to that opt-in, if you don't want to give me your email, just skip this step, click On the other hand, if you give me the email, then what will happen is you'll receive a full results report, just like what I just talked about. And down the funnel, you'll even be invited to take my scored quiz, the kind that I just told you doesn't happen on the first date. It's called the Genius Assessment. And it you score yourself in these areas and you find out which of the four types of intuitive genius you have in your life. And it's very normalizing of what intuition is something that all successful people use in different ways. So it is a really good experience and a way just to feel, oh, that's what that can feel like. It is so different than, yeah, a quiz of like, well, how good are you at what I'm selling? We'll find out. Now here's your product. It's very different. So, and from there, you can feel free to email me, you know, all those emails that you get, you can just write me back if you're curious about something.
I am very curious to hear how our Amplify community resonates as they go into this quiz experience. So if you're curious, intrigued, want to just check out the quiz, go to soulgiftsquiz.com. We'll link this up in the show notes. Soul yes, gift. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make it super easy for you. So if you go down to the resource section, you'll see the link there. And, you know, what I want you to do is take it for yourself. And because this quiz experience may be something you want to bring into your own business, but I also want you to imagine for a minute what it might be like if you had this experience for your potential clients. Mm-hmm. You know, what could be different if they were experiencing these questions and these reflections before they speak with you, right? So take it with both ideas in mind as you go through the quiz and see what pops for you.
Yeah, watch out. You'll be a quiz geek and a quiz prophet in no time.
Yeah, they may become a quiz evangelist, right?
A quiz evangelist.
You know, it's funny, like I think quizzes are fantastic. And I really think like for most businesses, having some kind of quiz like this is really helpful. And I know they're very popular. That okay, is. So Melissa, this is where I like to ask a couple fun questions to help people deepen the connection with you. And I just have to say, as I start these questions, when I first met Melissa, we were sitting on a couch having a glass of wine in Santa Cruz, I think, or Monterey,
yeah.
someplace
yeah,
like
it was
that.
In Santa Cruz.
Yes. And being able to have these really intriguing, real conversations with your peers who are intuitive and are bringing these gifts in is so magical, mm-hmm. especially when I know many of us are maybe not having these kind of inspiring conversations on a regular basis. So that's why I love asking these questions. I want you to get a small glimpse of the beautiful conversations I have with these amazing humans. Now, back to the question.
Okay.
So what would you say, looking back on the trajectory of your business up to now, is the boldest move you ever made?
Oh, I think this past year, we made a move where we really merged the mystery school of intuitive development with the business school. And so now everyone who's in my quiz academy, my business academy has full access to the mystery school. And it was like merging the two sides of my brain or the two parts of my life. And it has been such a game changer for the women. I work with mostly women, and it's been such a game changer because we need both. We need both. And I think more and more in business, we need both.
Why was that bold for you? I know why it was, but I'm
because
just curious, like, just to unpack the bold
energy.
The
Stanford
for a minute.
Part of me is embarrassed about the woo-woo part. And the woo-woo part of me thinks that we shouldn't need business and money. And like, so the two of them got to get along. And that's really where my passion lies, is where the two of them get along. But somehow in my mind, I thought, oh, nobody else agrees with that. They all either want all business talky-talky strategy, or they want the super woo, let's talk to your spirit guides and know what's next without, you know, becoming too irritating. Like, and what do you know? There's a lot of us wise women who really are grounded in both. And it was bold and it was validating. And yeah, I cried a lot of tears, kind of worrying about it, wondering if I was going to be received. And then I was just like, you know what? Something about menopause, I guess. It's like, I don't care if they do receive me. This is what we need to do. And we're doing it. It's been great.
You know, it's so interesting about you sharing that because you know, we follow each other's journey and, you know, we know each other. I literally thought that had been done centuries ago. Like I was like, interesting. Like, you know, I
Well, I've
really thought you
always
would answer that differently, but I love that
funny.
authentically you bring this into the conversation because it's scary to merge these parts of us that we work so hard to keep separate in our brand and in our, you know, client experiences. And I know what that's like because I did go through something similar a few years back where I'm like, okay, enough of this separation between church and state, right? It's like
Right.
we're gonna
Totally.
merge these two conversations into one place.
Yeah.
For me, it was made it simpler. So I think that's beautiful and profound. All
Yeah.
right. Looking back from the beginning of the journey to now, I'm sure there was a very important decision you made at some point that if you'd made it earlier, you feel like maybe things would have sped up or, you know, like, why did I wait so long? Maybe it was what you just shared, but is there one thing you wish you would have done sooner?
I mean, I think about claiming a specialty and a niche and talking about the real world solutions that my work brings. Because, you know, after I accidentally got psychic with Clarice's birth, that was the birth of my second child, my daughter, in the year 2000. I went fully woo for a while, and I sort of hid in the forest with a bunch of other lovely healers and hippies at Harbin Hot Springs, and resisted all things business for a long, long time, to the point where I wouldn't even tell people what the results of getting a session with me could possibly be. And that did slow a lot of things down, being clear about my expertise, being clear about my results. And you know, I had to go through a whole traumatic, like, business foreclosure post 2008, like change of life, you know, ripping, tearing, horrible transition, which I could talk about at another time, to really even come back to business and get humbled and say, yeah, I don't care how deep the gifts are, the transformation, you still got to talk to the humans about it. And so I say that to my students sometimes now, especially the people, you know, in the mid-range of business or newer in business. I'm like, you got to talk to the humans. You got to talk to the humans in a way that they understand, being very clear and specific about the results and promises of your work and being accountable to those results. And man, if I had done that 15 years earlier, oh yeah, things would
You
have
would have
been way
skipped some of the
easier.
heartbreak stages.
Yeah, probably would have skipped the whole foreclosure. Probably would have skipped because I would have been more in the real world with it instead of kind of in my own spin. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how sometimes we have to fail at something to crack us open enough to accept the thing that actually works.
Very
And I
true.
know I have a lot of people in my sphere who are having different versions of that. I've got definitely gone through that. And I really appreciate you sharing that because I think sometimes people need permission to let go of something that they're failing at so that they can step into the thing that's right in front of them, that's ready to for them to succeed with it.
I think that's business. It's like a series of failures you learn from and you don't stop. Like that's people ask, what's the secret to success? I'm like, that's it. You just keep failing, learning, and then not giving up until you identify what it is. And that's real deal.
Yeah, well said. Well, Melissa, queen of quizzes,
Quiz.
prophet of compassionate communication, all the
Yeah.
things. Thank you for joining me in this conversation today. And yeah, I'm really curious to hear from you as you're listening in how you experienced the quiz. And if this has inspired you to create a quiz for yourself, give us a little shout out wherever you're listening to this or drop into my socials or Melissa's socials, or hey, share the episode and tag us both in it and let us know the big aha moment.
That'd be
Melissa,
amazing.
thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Melanie. I appreciate you.
Thanks for tuning in today, Amplifier. Be sure to join us right now in the Amplify Your Authority community at authorityamplifiers.com, and I'll share my 7 proven tips to be a highly paid expert that stands out in a crowded market. Plus, we're going to keep this conversation going, and I want to hear from you how you're going to amplify your authority and make a greater impact. Before you go, please take a minute to give our show and our guests some love over on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Leave your full name, and I'll spotlight you and your authority on social media.